Hello, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and as always, it is good to be with you. It is Holy Cross Sunday, a day where we celebrate the sacrifice that happened on the cross. The cross that Jesus redeemed us on. And it is with a very interesting set of scriptures today that we'll be studying this. And I'm really glad that you are here with me and that we get to see this very vivid image that Jesus draws ahead of us. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's Old Testament lesson is from the book of Numbers. It is from the 21st chapter, the second half of the fourth verse through the ninth verse. Hear now the word of the Lord. But the people became discouraged on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together now in a time of worship and remind ourselves of the tenets of our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, I come to you today, still afraid of snakes, but humbled, so humbled, by the opportunities that you have always given your people for redemption, a path to be in full communion and relationship with you through your love and light and your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is from the book of John, the gospel according to John. We are in the third chapter, verses 13 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descends from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The familiar word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you so much for this message, for this reminder, for this time to change fear into laughter and learning and love. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Before Google became a verb and you could look up the answer just about any question you can dream up on the internet, we had several ways of finding information. All of you youngins that are listening may not believe this, but we actually had to go look things up in books to find answers to questions, to research for school term papers, or to get answers to the crossword puzzles. Volumes of encyclopedias that were out of date almost as soon as they were printed, the dictionary, printed magazines and newspapers, and sets of reference books, just to name a few. You also used to be able to call the reference desk at the library and ask them questions that you were curious about. Before the internet, the library was the place where the most information was stored. Several years ago, the staff at the New York Library was cleaning out some drawers, and they came across a box filled with note cards that cataloged questions that actual people called in to the library to ask. They are just as amazing as you are imagining. Here are some of my favorites that ask the hard-hitting biblical and animal questions. September 1956, what kind of apple did Eve eat? June 1967, what is the natural enemy of the duck? What do you mean? The librarian asked. Well, a whole flight of them landed in my pool, and I have waved a broom at them, but all they do is look at me and quack. I thought I would introduce the natural enemy into the pool area. October 1976. Why do 18th century English paintings have so many squirrels in them? And how did they tame them so they wouldn't bite the painter? A couple were undated. Is the black widow spider more harmful dead or alive? Does the female human being belong to the mammal class? And finally, someone called into the New York Library and asked the librarian in September of 1949, if a poisonous snake bites itself, will it die? My answer to the last one is one can only hope. This year has been a particularly snaky one for me. It is my least favorite animal that God created. I don't trust an animal without legs. In the last few months, I've had several encounters that I would rather forget. There's the morning that I walked out to a king snake curled up at my front door. He's a good snake, or so my nephew told me, so I let him live. I've seen him several times since and named him Snape. He has been seen following my animals, Honey, Diana, Art, and I, on our walks, or slithering out of the woods behind the house. There was the morning that a timber rattler was curled up and very angry at my front steps. I had to call in reinforcements for that one. And the reason that I twisted my ankle last week was because I was attempting to run from a moccasin that was up and angry and ready to strike. There's a very good reason that I don't run. I'm not supposed to hate any of God's creatures, but I hate snakes. And they have been a big part of my life since I moved to Vienna. One that I'm sure God was just trying to use for this sermon illustration, but goodness gracious, I sure do wish he could have found a different way to bring the Old Testament scripture to life. We cannot read the John text today without looking back to Moses and the Numbers scripture. Jesus was reinforcing that scripture in John. The people of Israel had been through it, trying to get to the promised land. This takes place well into their journey. They had been eating manna for a while now. They'd been in the hot desert. They'd fought with different tribes. They're worn out, and they are over it. They're ready to get to what has been promised to them, but it's never that easy. Their own complaints have kept them away from the promised land and for a while now, and this time is no different. Chapter 21, verse 5 shows their list of complaints. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. God's answer to their complaints was to send venomous snakes. I know what my reaction was to the two venomous snakes that I have seen in the last month or so. I cannot imagine how their hearts raced and how quickly they ran away when it was a whole bunch of them. It had to be terrifying. Pretty quickly, they see the error of their ways and ask for forgiveness. What God tells Moses to do is make an image of a snake and put it on a pole, and they will be saved when they look at it. They're told to look right at the thing that has caused death and was the result of their complaining in sinful ways, and it will then begin to save them. Is this starting to sound a little familiar? Jesus is reinforcing and referencing the scripture for a reason. The parallels are there. We all stray from God. We all get frustrated and angry and hurt and start to live outside the path that God has for us. We all say things like, "Why have you brought me here? I don't feel like I can ever be really nourished. It is miserable here." What God did for the people of Israel and what he does for each of us is just point to the thing on the pole for redemption. For us today, it is not a snake, but the person on the cross. As always, the scripture brings up a lot of things that I need to ponder in my own life. These are questions I ask myself a lot, and I'm still searching for some of the answers. What venom do you bring into your own life that causes you misery? What snakes do we need to redeem as we look to the cross for our own redemption? How can we avoid the snakes altogether? Because I don't know about you, but I would be perfectly happy if I never saw another snake ever again. God gives us a way out of the misery. He gives us a way to have life again. It took the one who came down from heaven to ascend back up as our Savior to accomplish the redemption that we all need. For the ancient people of Israel, it was the sculpture of a serpent that saved them from death from venomous snakes. From the rest of us, it is Jesus on the cross that we have to look up to for redemption. He was human just like we are, and we can look to him for how to live and how to be saved. Friends, we can't have John 3:16 without the verses before it. We can't rid ourselves of the venom in our lives without the cross. The sacrifice has to come so that we can have the redemption that Jesus is promising. God loved us enough that even when we complained about the food and the hard trip to the promised land, he still gave us his son, Jesus, as a way to everlasting life and full communion with God. If a poisonous snake bites itself, will it die? If we just look at the literal answer to the question, we find that the snakes do not bite themselves. But if we think about it in light of our scriptures today, it is not a bad question to ask. Because as much as I hate them, We can all be our own venomous snake. We can be surrounded by them, but we can also be them ourselves. So the answer to the question then becomes a little more complicated. Yes. Yes, we can die. But also, we can live. We can live the life of abundance and love that is found in verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. To save us from ourselves and from the venom that is all around us. To give us something to look up to on a cross that can save us. Does God redeem the snake for me? Sure, figuratively, he does. Because I see myself in that redemption through these verses. Do I want one as a pet or to hold one or to bless one whenever we have a blessing of the animals? Nope. Not even a little. Some things are still too snaky to deal with. After all, it was not really the right question to ask, what kind of apple did Eve eat? A better question would have been, what kind of snake gave it to her? Amen. As we look through at our week ahead, let's look up to the things that redeem us, to the things that remove the venom from our lives and give us salvation. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.